Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Selling is critical to almost every job there is. You're selling your ideas, you're selling yourself, you're selling action. But what makes a great salesperson? And is it a skill that can be trained? Colin Coggins is a professor at USC Marshall School of Business and the co-author of The Unsold Mindset, Redefining What It Means to Sell. He joins us now to talk about the mindset and some misperceptions about selling. He's in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
I am well. I started my career in sales in a very traditional role, selling laundry detergent and other great packaged goods products at P&G, but I fit the stereotype. I'm extroverted. I am loud. Why does selling have such a bad name in so many quarters of our economy?
So what we've found is that when you ask someone what they think of, when they hear the word salesperson, they say yucky, manipulative, smarmy, et cetera. Yeah. But if you ask them who the greatest salesperson is they know, they give you names like Martin Luther King Jr., yeah. Steve Jobs, my son, my daughter. Yeah. And there's that incongruence there. And I think what's happening is that all day long, without even trying, people are pretending to be someone that they're not when they're in selling situations. It doesn't matter if they're interviewing for a job or they're trying to teach their kids something or if they're trying to get their, you know, significant other to watch season 3 of The Office versus season 2, which is obviously a better season.
Of course.
And so what... And so what we've realized is that the greatest salespeople on the planet, although they can be gregarious and extroverted, they're not. That's not their superpower. Mm. What they're really good at is being extremely self-aware. Like they could say something, realize it didn't land, and they're able to course correct real time. They can talk to someone and realize that the person doesn't think that they're listening. They think they're waiting to speak, and they can change immediately. And these are conversations that are being had at the highest levels. And sometimes, in fact, most of the time, the greatest salespeople in any room don't have sales in their title, but they're doing the best job ever, creating agency, helping people feel like they're part of the decision, and ultimately moving people. And I don't know how you chase dreams, your dreams or anybody else's dreams, if you don't know how to move people.
How do you define the unsold mindset? What do you mean by that phrase?
So we went out and interviewed some of the greatest sales professionals that are living. And then we asked them who are the greatest salespeople they knew. And they all introduced us to people that were not sales professionals. And that was fascinating to us. And as we dug in, what we realized was that what they all had in common had nothing to do with what they were saying or what they were doing. It was what they were thinking. They were unsold on who society expected them to be as a salesperson, as a CEO, as a mother, et cetera. They were unsold on who people wanted them to be. They were unsold on who they had to be successful. So they weren't these like rule breakers intentionally. They just looked at themselves and their careers and their impact, and they based it against what everyone thought it was supposed to look like and truly believed that the opposite was true.
Chapter 1 is titled, You Can't Act Authentic. Come on, give me a raw onion in 30 minutes and I can muster a tear like anybody. What do you mean you can't act authentic?
By definition, you can't act authentic because you can't, like, you're acting, right? Mm. And by definition, authenticity is not acting. Authenticity is your authentic self. That doesn't mean that you can't have multiple authentic selves, but what it does mean is that when you act like you are authentic, there's only a matter of time before people realize it's called schemer's schema. It's like this, I think, this physical gut reaction that's actually backed up by science. People know when you're faking it. They might not know right away, but they know. And so when we were out there talking to these people, we realized that they were giving themselves permission to share pieces of themselves that most people wouldn't. And I'd give you a great example of this. Some of the unsold, a lot of them, they were intentionally ignorant about the pieces of their job and their work that didn't inspire them to show up passionately or authentically. Mm-hmm. So they would literally ignore these pieces of their jobs to create the infrastructure to mitigate inauthenticity. Or we would talk to people and ask them about their lives and their jobs and their careers, and they would start talking to themselves out loud. they would say things like, wow, that's a really good question. Let me think about that. Why do I? And then they'd look back at us. And those 3 seconds, right, that micro moment of connection where they were showing their work, like in math class, like they don't just show their answer, they show their work. You can't act authentic when you're showing your work. A lot of people want to talk about the right side of the equal sign. This book is about the left side of the equal sign. Why these great sellers think the way they do. And authenticity is, I think, the byproduct of that.
And as you were doing your research, what did you learn about what of this can be trained and what is, it's a character trait, it's a temperament, it's a value. It is, you know, just who that person is.
I love this question because there's a debate on if, you know, you can raise IQ, but there's no real debate on if you can raise EQ because it comes with experience. Like your self-awareness, for example, is heightened as you go through experiences. And so when we were looking at all of these different people, what we realized what they were really good at proving to everyone that's going to read this book, there's no right way to be good at selling. There's this whole duality between, like, is a great seller optimistic or pessimistic, an introvert or an extrovert? Are they logical? Are they emotional? Are they a learner? Are they a knower? Like these conversations that kept popping up, and we realized the answer was yes. Like they actually run the gamut. And I don't know if that's answering your question directly, but duality was one of the most surprising things that we just fell in love with as we were writing this book.
What is an example of a great sales question? Because I think you've talked a lot about listening and who you're being while you have that conversation. And then there's also what falls out of your mouth. So can you give me an example of a great sales question?
I can. I want to tell you how much I love this question because what great sellers, especially the unsold that are represented in this book, do really well is they add value by asking questions, which is very rare. Most of the time you're extracting value when you ask questions. Tell me, show me, give me. And these great sellers, like they are asking questions that people have never heard before. And so what's happening is these people are ideating for the first time in real time about what that answer is. And whatever the answer is to that question, that's their answer. They weren't sold on that answer. They took ownership in that answer. They bought that answer because it was theirs. And that's this concept of agency that's really, you know, fleshed out a lot throughout the book. If I give you an example, one of the best questions that we've heard from students in our class that they use during the interview process when they're selling themselves and their ideas is, what rules should we be breaking? One of our favorites.
Wow, I love that. Speaking of duality, the salesperson needs to sell the thing, but in the land of authenticity, they have to kind of be detached from selling the thing because not everybody needs the thing. And what might arise in the conversation is, oh, you don't need the thing. Okay, moving on. But great salespeople have a way to engage on the objections such that the person they're selling to can kind of answer the question for themselves and hopefully in their favor. What did you learn about how great salespeople handle objections?
No. Now I know you were a salesperson. probably the biggest key takeaway is that people will say no to you because you're right. Mm. Like people will say no to you because you handled the objection so well. You know, like you handled every objection, you answered all their questions, you fit within the budget. They said that they were going to spend the money, and now you're asking to buy, and they're saying no. And the question is, why are they saying no if I handled every single objection? And the answer is because you're right. And it's this concept that most people don't talk about in sales, which is the difference between being a knower and a learner. And we were interviewing people, they were telling us that they would get more credit from customers for saying, I don't know. And then going out and being resourceful and fighting for those people and those answers. And this idea of know-it-allism and belief superiority, it stems from this belief that you're supposed to know everything. But I can't tell you how many people in this book say that their 3 favorite words are, I don't know, because it gives them the opportunity to go and fight, to go and bring someone else in, and then put that person on a totally completely different team. Like if I say, I don't know, but I know somebody smarter than me that does, hold on, I will go and fight and get this person in the room. When that person comes in the room, It's now me and you on one side of the table and that person on the other, and we want to know something. So, you know, objections are hard, but I think that know-it-allism and creating a sense of agency versus stripping agency, meaning like don't overcome every objection so that people don't feel like they're part of the process. People will say no because they don't feel like they're part of the process. Create agency so they feel like they are part of the process because they actually are.
One last question. You could wake me up at 2 a.m. and I would be able to recount to you the Procter & Gamble sales format. It was so ingrained in our brains. To that end, what is the single most important thing a salesperson needs to prepare before they walk into that room?
My co-author, Garrett Brown, is going to kill me for dropping the L-bomb on you, but I'm going to do it.
Okay, I'm ready.
Falling in love. And I know it sounds cheesy, so I just want to I want to preface this.
Yeah, you did nothing to end the stereotype of salespeople right there. Jeez.
You know, everyone knows who's listening, that you move differently when you're enamored with someone. Mm. Now it's impossible for you to take 3 minutes to fall in love with someone before you walk in that room. But there's this entire theory that we have seen proven accurate throughout this entire book, that if you look for the good in someone, you will find it. And when you ask someone to look for the good in someone, if you ask someone, fall in love with the idea of who this person could be, what they're actually doing is they're looking for themselves in these people. And if you can see yourself in someone when you talk to them, it's not an adversarial relationship. You are asking questions that most people don't because you care differently. Like Garrett, I always make fun of him on stage, like my co-author. I say the best version of him was the 14-year-old version of him when he had a crush on somebody.
Right.
He didn't talk more. He talked less. He actually thought the stuff that was coming out of her mouth was funny when everybody else didn't. Right. So, you know, net, there's a very, I believe, beautiful and special chapter called Fall in Love, or Love Actually. Fall in Love, comma, actually.
I love that movie. Colin, thank you so much for joining us to talk about your book. It is called The Unsold Mindset, Redefining What It Means to Sell. Again, thanks for being here.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.